Hello, and welcome to the Transcending CRM Podcast, a show where we explore how the Salesforce ecosystem has impacted the careers of fellow trailblazers and the businesses that have leveraged dynamic growth from the platform. This podcast is brought to you by Silverline. Silverline is a Salesforce digital transformation consultancy headquartered in New York City, specializing in financial services, media and entertainment, and healthcare industries. I am your host, Elliot Spence, principal consultant at Silverline, along with my co-host, JP Owens, Managing Director of Banking and Lending at Silverline. How's it going, JP?
Good, Elliot. Excited to talk to our guest today because there's a lot going on in the ecosystem right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a very special guest today for our listeners. Today, we are joined by Brad Rice. Brad is the founder of Talent Stacker. Prior to Talent Stacker, Brad has held a number of roles in the Salesforce ecosystem dating back to 2011. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Hey, how's it going? It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you guys having me on. And yeah, hopefully we can educate the audience and see if there's something we can tell them they haven't heard before. So I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a fun episode. Can you take a moment and tell us more about yourself and your current role? And for our listeners that may not have experience with Talent Stacker, can you tell us more about your role and how Talent Stacker supports the Salesforce ecosystem?
Yeah, absolutely. So Talent Stacker is basically a company that I founded back in 2020. So right in the heat of the pandemic, which I think a lot of companies started around that time. But I think the sole purpose of this was I had had an extremely successful career as a Salesforce professional, from being a junior admin to being a solution architect at a consulting firm, to starting my own consultancy, doing independent consulting and freelancing, and had a lot of fun with that for about 4 years. And eventually I got to the point where that was still rewarding and it felt exciting and it was fun to be in the mix of the actual Salesforce projects. But my real passion was people. And I was looking around and hearing people talk about, especially during the pandemic, job loss and uncertainty. And I was seeing a lot of people going, hey, what are these remote jobs? And like, how can I find a remote job that actually pays well? And is this actually a reality? And I realized for me, I had a real interest in helping those individuals, the people who kind of knew what tech was. They weren't 100% sure. A lot of misconceptions about how you break into tech, like what college degrees you need, or if you even need one at all, or do you have to have a tech background, or what is it? Like, how do you do this? And I just thought, man, this is not as complicated as people want it to be. And if I can give some clarity on that, I think I would really enjoy that career path. And so long story short, found a Talent Stacker, and the whole process of Talent Stacker as a service is to basically take anyone and everyone from wherever they are today to being entry-level Salesforce professionals and beyond. And I would say as far as our community involvement, we spend a lot of time, I would argue as much or more time helping with free resources for the community than we do for any paid resources through the program. So that involves a lot of resources. I'm happy to talk about those today and where they fit in, but we pretty much have a little something for everyone. If you want to do this DIY and just do it yourself, we can help you sort of pivot and understand where you fit in and make that transition. So yeah.
No, that's awesome. I'd love to hear more about it. And well, I've met quite a few people who have gone through Talent Stacker and found a new career through it and got trained up through it, and they've had nothing but awesome things to say about it. So we're definitely going to be hearing a lot of great things through the podcast today about it. Now, through your career, you have held many different roles within the Salesforce ecosystem. How did those roles prepare you for your current role and what you do today with Talent Stacker?
Yeah, it's I could go on for a full show on this question, but I won't, but I could. And the reason I say that is because I tell people repeatedly that without my Salesforce career, I'm not able to operate Talent Stacker as a company. Talent Stacker just as an operations. Forget that it's about Salesforce. Just operating it from marketing to sales to support to actually keeping up with the data and looking at trends to being able to forecast into the future what's going on, to be able to pivot, to be able to handle all of the finances. All of that is possible because of the last 10 years, 12 years now, I guess, of working with businesses and helping them streamline their business processes and helping them overcome pain points that they're having in their industries. And through those 10 years of experience, I worked with about 200 different clients during that timeframe, and getting to see all those different industries and verticals and problems, and small companies to enterprise companies and everything in between. I work for companies that were rocket ship startups that just exploded to companies that had been around for 40 years and were tanking. I mean, got to see a little bit of everything. And at the time, I didn't realize, you know, I'm going to go out and start my own business one day. But it really came in handy when the time came. I already knew, what are the best tools to use? What are the best platforms to use? What are the types of reports that companies use to figure out what's the health of their pipeline? Just everything I was already educated about. So it was a wonderful way to get paid and have a great career and also get, you know, really incredible training on how to be an entrepreneur at the same time. So that was great. And then, of course, going from being a college student with no idea what to do out of college, literally no clue, to getting a Salesforce job that I had no idea what it was, to moving into, you know, junior consulting, to solution architecting, to starting my own consultancy. All of that led to the point where I felt really well equipped to educate other individuals on a lot of the nuances and scenarios. I wasn't just a person who landed an entry-level job. I wasn't just a person who advanced my career into consulting. I wasn't just a person who started my own consultancy and freelanced. I had done so many different things. And so I'd had a lot of awkward conversations. I'd had a lot of, you know, scenarios that I think are somewhat uncommon, and able to learn from those and compile that information and then educate others on how to utilize it for their benefit so they didn't have to struggle the same way I did on certain things. Yeah, I think all of that came together in a really incredible way to make Talent Stacker possible, because without all of that, I think you have a very different program because it's based on a very different experience. So I would say for anybody out there in a Salesforce career looking at getting into a Salesforce career, the positive externalities of the skills and the experiences that you get in this career path go far beyond what you're going to be doing in your 40-hour work week.
And we love talking about what people are doing now and kind of how they got to their place in the ecosystem. But one of the best parts about the show, in my opinion, is getting people like yourself on to kind of take us back and put us in the position you were in when you got your first exposure to the Salesforce platform. What role were you in? What was the situation? How did you best enable yourself? And how did you dive into the ecosystem? And depending on when this was, I don't know how much of the content was necessarily out there. So love hearing about how you got involved and how you grew your skills yourself.
Yeah. So it was, I guess, a fortunate ignorance. I don't know if that's a fair way to call it. Basically, I came out of college and I wanted to be a high school economics teacher. I was really passionate about consumer personal finances. Really loved it, as passionate as any 21, 22-year-old can be on a topic, right? And I really enjoyed it. I had Great Depression grandparents who were extremely frugal and money-minded. My parents, we grew up on a cattle farm. We were very thoughtful about our money. So personal finances to me were just part of everyday life. It's just the way I grew up. People talked about money a lot. And really from a fear mindset of, I'm so scared to spend any money because there might be something terrible that happens tomorrow and I'll need it. So I'd grown up talking about money a lot, how to save, how to make more money so you can save more money, all those kind of things. And so I really loved economics and just sort of latched onto it. When I came out of college, I didn't really know what to do with that. I had an economics degree with a minor in education. I got certified to teach everything from first grade to 12th grade math, all topics, and of course, economics. And the reason I did that is because I wanted to be certified in math so that I gave myself a better potential to break in to the teaching space and then hopefully pivot into the economics job when a role became available. However, the shock to me was I didn't know how to talk to decision makers at schools. I didn't know what a good resume looked like. I didn't know what a good interview sounded like. I didn't even know how to apply for a job with anything more than just going to a website and click and apply. So I was just extremely naive to how the working world actually functioned. I started applying for anything and everything I could find. And one of those roles happened to be a job in my hometown in Georgia for a junior Salesforce administrator position. Had no idea what it was. I applied. We don't have to get into it, but basically through a lot of fortune and what I honestly believe was just meant to be, I ended up getting accepted into that role. I did not deserve that role. I was not qualified for that role, but I ended up getting the job. And I took it really seriously. I had really great mentorship. And basically within the first 2 or 3 months that I was there, I was being coached really well and being told that, you know, Salesforce is not just a job that you do here at this company. It's an ecosystem. It's a career path. There's a lot you can do with this. This is a global platform. And the possibilities are endless if you take this seriously. This is not just a local hometown job. This is much bigger. And I didn't have any good advice coming from anyone else. So I figured, okay, I'll stick with this. And at the time, there were five possible certifications. I know today there's maybe 30 or 40. At the time, there were five. And so I said, okay, I'm going to get this Salesforce Administrator certification. What do you know? It's still what I would call the baseline certification 12 years later. And I jumped in, I got that, felt like a nice tangible way to prove to myself that I was learning something. But again, I said, I had great mentorship. They helped coach me, told me what I needed to do to develop my career. And then I moved on to consulting from there. So we can jump into that, but it's really I think just a fortunate occurrence of really accidents that led to the start of this whole career path.
Yeah, and I love that theme of the accidental admin. I know we talk about that often, but I think the other part of this is you hit on it in the story there. It's a lot of the intangibles of these individuals. Like, I think a lot of us have a lot of common themes and similarities when you look across the ecosystem of people doing a lot of different things, not just to be successful on the platform, but to enable clients, to enable their peers, to really grow people, to help understand what they can do next with the technology and just the network that they're building. So I love hearing those stories, and hopefully we'll dive into that a little bit more in a couple of these other questions. But as you look at your role now and kind of how you fell into that first role, and as you talk about maybe how you were maybe not the right fit for that role from a technical perspective, but what kind of advice would you give organizations looking to hire or grow talent for Salesforce? Because the way we've talked about it in the past is not always about the most technical person, especially depending on the industry you're in. It's someone who really knows the business process and can help communicate and gather those requirements. So what advice would you give someone looking to hire, whether it's in industry or in consulting, and grow their Salesforce talent base?
Yeah, the first thing I would say, because I get this question a lot from employers, what they'll ask me is, hey, Brad, tell me some of the attributes of a person, like what background do they come from? What college degree do they have? Those kind of things. Can you tell us some of those easy answers to help us find talent? And I get it. They're looking for a silver bullet. They're looking like, hey, if I just set the filters to this, then suddenly I come up with great talent consistently. And so the first thing I'll tell them is don't look at someone's past to dictate what they're capable of in the future. I think I've just seen that so many times with our Talent Stacker members. I would say some of the most successful members of our program worked in industries that you would never imagine are going to do well in a, you know, white collar tech consulting space, right? Like, that it wouldn't translate. It's like, how did you go from automotive painter or truck driver? Or, you know, we even had a member that was, you know, worked in operations at a strip club. And it's like, that doesn't translate, right? Like, that person is just not a good pick. And they ended up being some of the best picks. So to actually answer your question, like, well, okay, well, what am I looking for? And I would first say top talent goes fast. And so if your process goes slow, you lose. And I'm kind of looking at some of these employers where, all right, first we need you to do a series of 4 interviews. And based on our scheduling, those 4 interviews might take 3 weeks. And we're also going to need you at the end of that to do a case study. And we'll review that case study 2 weeks later. And then we'll review applications and the case studies, and we'll figure out who's a fit. You got a 1 to 2 month interview process. Okay, so probably the best candidates are gone by the end of that process, and you're getting what's left over. So I would say first, start by looking at the candidate-employer relationship as a partnership. And I think a lot of people do this. A lot of good companies like Silverline do this well, right? They see the candidate not as someone they're gifting a job to, but as someone they're partnering with for success for their customers. And when you start looking at the relationship that way, you start understanding, okay, top talent probably has a full-time job. In fact, top talent's probably very busy on projects that are serious projects. So me expecting a candidate to show up between 8 and 5 for an interview is asking a lot from them. Asking them to show up 4 times between 8 and 5 in a 2-week period is asking a heck of a lot from them. So I would urge employers, if you're looking, you got to create an edge. This is with anything we do. We always want to differentiate our process in a way that improves our results. And I would say an easy win that I've seen, you know, employers do is see if some of their internal staff is willing to facilitate an interview outside of working hours, or see if somebody on the West Coast can do interviews for people in the East Coast. So it's still West Coast, you know, work hours while they're interviewing someone at 6 p.m. East Coast. And you can catch people at times that are more favorable for their schedules because they're not busy being top talent at their jobs that are demanding. And so I would say there's a lot of ways that we can adjust our interview process to help us get that top talent more consistently. I would also say, you know, thinking about your process, a lot of that top talent, again, now I work with entry level, typically working with a lot more advanced talent, you know, here in 2023, but typically with entry level, you don't have that issue as much, but they are still working full-time jobs a lot of the time, most of the time. And so anytime you can adjust your process to view it more as a partnership instead of them just needing to bend over backwards for you, it's always going to help you, number one, show the culture of your company, and number two, make it easier to move through the interview process more rapidly. And then if you're looking at more advanced talent, like some of these people with maybe 5+ years experience with niche specialty skills, then I would just say at that point, it can be even difficult for those individuals to find the time to apply for jobs and update resumes and polish their interview skills to the point where they feel confident. And I would say for advanced talent in the Salesforce ecosystem, this might be surprising. One of the biggest issues with them leaving their current employer to come take on maybe a more challenging role or something that fits their goals better would be they feel imposter syndrome just like a beginner. They feel like their interview skills are lacking. They think the 5 years of experience that they have are misleading because they don't have that great of experience, even though it's 5 years. And a lot of times they just need to be enlightened to the fact that their skills are massively valuable and that other employers are probably waiting to pick them up. So sometimes you have to go find those individuals, and that might be through social media platforms like LinkedIn and letting people know that you're looking for talent just like them, because a lot of times they're kind of hiding in the shadows, not feeling like they're good enough to take on these roles.
Yeah, I think that's great advice and stuff that we try to put into practice all the time. If I was someone working in industry, and let's say my organization doesn't have Salesforce, or maybe I don't have access to it, but I'm curious about getting started on the platform and building my skills, what's the process like to engage with Talent Stacker to qualify for the program or to participate in the program to hopefully make the switch to get into the ecosystem as an admin or another role like that?
Yeah, so I would say the best way to engage with Talent Stacker, if you want to check out our free resources, I would just say go to talentstacker.com/now, N-O-W. And that's going to take you to what we have as our free 5-day challenge. And this is really for people who are not 100% sure that they want a Salesforce career, right? You got to go all the way back to the people we work with. And these are individuals who they might be a bartender today. And they're going, look, I'm looking for a career with more potential to advance. I want to work from home, whatever the things are. I want to get paid more, whatever else. But they really don't know too much. They know what Salesforce is. They heard it from a friend. They've got a cousin that's a Salesforce consultant, this and that. The 5-day challenge walks them through, what's it going to take to get that first Salesforce certification? What does it look like to network on LinkedIn? What does it look like to have a job search strategy, not just click apply now? And what are the obstacles you're going to be up against? And what is a Salesforce career like? So you could figure out, you may do that 5-day challenge and go, man, this was boring. Like, this was awful. I didn't want to do this for 5 days, much less do it for the next 5 years, right? So if that's the feeling you're having after 5 days, then you know, man, thank goodness I only spent maybe 3 to 5 hours going through this 5-day challenge, and this isn't for me. Or if you come out on the other side and you go, this sounds really cool, I'm nervous, or this sounds really cool, I'm excited, then you know this is probably something you want to take next steps with. And at that point, you know, like we talked about in the intro, we have a lot of free resources. And what we're doing now is we're creating community resources. So we have things that are, if you go to talentstacker.com/community, you can basically look for a community that looks right for you. So we have basically a community for each background that we see transitioning into Salesforce careers a lot. So that's nonprofit, that's healthcare, educators, blue collar, college students, you know, career pivoters, stay-at-home parents pivoting back into the workforce, things like that. And we have a separate resource for each one of those backgrounds that tell them about, that help them highlight their transferable skills and maybe community groups that are a good fit for them, podcast episodes, other free resources and videos, stories from individuals who came from their backgrounds so that they can find themselves. And that's what's so important about someone finding their way into a Salesforce career. They first have to understand, okay, these careers are legitimate. This is not a scam. This is not a sales job. This is not an MLM. That's what we have to get past first. And then they have to go, okay, now that I understand it's a legitimate career path, can I do it? Have people like me done this? And then once they fill those two things, I believe this is a valid career path. I believe that I can do this. We make that connection. And now you have a successful person on their way to becoming a Salesforce professional. So I would say start there. The Salesforce for Everyone podcast, another great resource. Episodes 1 through 8 are specifically made to help you understand why Salesforce professionals are so in demand, and then walks you through step-by-step how to land a job entry level. So those are the best ways. If you know you want to join the program, you've heard about it, you've seen it, you want to hop on the wait list, talentstacker.com/wins, W-I-N-S, will take you there. If you want to connect with me, you can find me on LinkedIn. Just search Bradley Rice. I'm the one with the crazy bright, you know, background on my profile picture. But we're always onboarding people. Every month we have open enrollment windows to make sure that people can join when they're ready. It's lifetime access. So you don't have to worry about what's happening today, what your schedule looks like next week. It's very flexible. It is not cohort based, like you'll notice other boot camps. The reason we do that is because, in my opinion, that same vision of trying to do things differently to improve the process, boot camps don't work for real people in real life, not for everyone. I'll put it that way. A boot camp for a kid who just came out of college and is currently unemployed should not be the same format as a boot camp for a stay-at-home parent with 3 kids, and should not be the same format for a business professional working 60 hours a week. Makes absolutely no sense. It is not a one-size-fits-all. So we've molded Talent Stacker in a way that we mold the program to you, similar to the way I was talking about employers molding their interview process to the candidate. We mold our program to the member, not trying to force the member to mold their lives to fit our program. So you can dive into that with all those resources that I just mentioned. You can message me on LinkedIn. I do respond to everyone. And hopefully that sheds some light on at least first steps, understanding how to get some more information.
No, that's awesome. I like how you structure everything differently for everybody, because like you said, it's someone fresh out of college, someone that's, you know, a mother, a father with children, and it's going to be different for them. The path they go on and how they learn is going to be, you know, different everywhere. And it's something I experienced through, you know, coaching wrestling and through training people here and in my past role. I mean, it's always different. You gotta structure everything differently by who they are, what their background is. And I like hearing that, you know, Talent Stacker takes that approach. Now, it's obviously something I would have loved to have gone through when, you know, I was learning Salesforce. You know, I relied pretty much, you know, solely on Trailhead and things like Focus on Force. Now there's, you know, well, not just now, but every day there's more and more avenues that people can take to learn Salesforce, with YouTube channels, blogs, different learning programs like Talent Stacker, Focus on Force. Even Salesforce themselves host, you know, things like Trailhead DX that we did go to. I was about a year and a half into Salesforce when I went to Trailhead DX the first time. But there's a lot of different ways people can learn Salesforce and gain that skill set, earn that next badge on Trailhead, or learn what they need to do on the next project. So what does Talent Stacker utilize to really support their program participants? Do they use some of these, you know, like Trailhead and things like that? Or is there a lot of different avenues that you take to train everybody that participates in the program?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a little bit of everything. And we're not, again, you know, we're interested in optimizing this process for you. It's not about us. It's about the member, right? And so when I look around and we look at companies like Focus on Force, and I would say very similar to Focus on Force, I think you're going to be hearing this name a lot more here in the next year, is Get Force Certified. And that's another platform that's similar to Focus on Force. I would say it caters to different learning styles a little bit more readily. And I would just say that it's more, it's a little bit more updated with the way they handle, you know, some of those things, but, you know, mock exams and cheat sheets and things like that. But we used Focus on Force for the first 2 years of facilitating the program. We now use GitForce Certified. Now, what do we use those for? We use those primarily, and I would say honestly, specifically for their mock exams. The reason for that is that as Talent Stacker, could we create our own mock exams and keep up with the current Salesforce updates and rewrite the questions and answer databases and use those for our members? We absolutely could. But when you look at these resources that are anywhere from, say, $15 to $40 for mock exams, it makes a lot of sense for us to simply comp those resources. So we have contracts with those resource training companies where basically we just buy in bulk and provide those resources to our members. Now, that's not all we give them, right? So we point them, so talk about certification specifically. And I would say that getting a Salesforce certification is probably about 10% of landing a job. A lot of people think it's the key. It's really one of many things you need to do. It's part of the puzzle. It needs to be done. It is necessary, but it is not anywhere close to everything that you need. But the certification process, a lot of people latch onto that because there's a lot of blogs about it, a lot of videos about it. What we do, we have weekly instructor-led trainings facilitated by one of our staff members who is always a veteran Salesforce professional. We have them facilitate the weekly trainings. We use two different styles and we alternate those styles. So one is what we call a build along, where we train, but we also have our dev orgs open and we are building the Salesforce certification content into an org live so that you can actually put your hands on it while you're learning it. The last thing we want are talent stackers entering the workforce who know how to answer multiple choice questions, but don't know how to do their job. Two very different things. And so we use a build along method, and then we also use a deep dive method. And the deep dive method is to help test takers understand the actual question structure, the actual answer structure, to think like the test creator and really dissect the test so that they can be better at it. You see this a lot with SAT and ACT testing in high schools, really understanding not just the answer and the topic, but how the question's formulated, the type of question that the test creators are trying to elicit out of the test takers. So we carry those methods into our program and we use those to make sure we're getting people certified efficiently. Now, if we have issues, right? Like if we have someone who they've gone through it, they've done what we've prepared, they've gone through it, they've done their work, and they still have failed the certification exam, then we will get them in touch with individuals who might do some better one-on-one training. But honestly, between resources like Focus on Force, GitForce Certified, and, you know, Trailhead, that's really what I would consider to be the textbook. Trailhead to me is a textbook. So imagine you're trying to pass a college class and you think, I'll just buy the textbook and now I'm going to pass the college class. I would say Trailhead is the textbook, and a resource like Talent Stacker is the difference between having a book and actually having a professor in a class and someone guiding you through the content. So two very different things, even though technically all of the information is in the textbook. If you have a good educator, it's a totally different experience.
I really like how you brought up that the certification's just a 10% part of it, because I 100% agree. I mean, so many people think that, okay, I got my admin cert, I got my Sales Cloud cert, now I'm going to be able to find a job. I mean, there's a lot more to it. I mean, there's people out there kind of referencing that you're a really good test taker. You could memorize all of this, but then you got to apply it. Like, passing the test and getting certified is a very small portion of it. Applying what you learned and actually looking at a business process or a business challenge and applying that to, okay, how would I build this? How would I create this business process? How would I document this? That's the biggest part of it. And a lot of people overlook that. They think like, okay, I'm certified, now I should be able to find a job. And this is something that kind of leads into my next question. I always ask our guests what advice they'd give to somebody if they were starting their career as a Salesforce admin. And I want to ask you the same thing, basically, but what are like the top three things that you would consider? What is the most important thing that, okay, now I'm certified, now I can build everything I need to in Salesforce. I understand really how everything is architected. What are the three things that somebody should think about or consider as they're diving into their first career, you know, the first job as a Salesforce admin?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to answer this in a couple of different ways, if that's cool. But for that entry-level person, one of the things that happens is they get tunnel vision into the certification, because the way I describe it is that the path to getting Salesforce certified is clear. I didn't say easy. I said clear. It's like standing at the front of a trailhead, which is fortunate for this analogy, standing at a trailhead and you can see the trail is carved out. It's very obvious where to go. And there may not even be any forks in the road. Like, it's just, you just walk from point A to point B. But between point A and point B might be a 50-foot rock wall. There might be a raging river. There might be, you know, massive muddy sections that you have to wade through. So there's a big difference between a path being clear and a path being easy to go from point A to point B. Now, that's why I believe people get siloed and tunnel visioned into Salesforce certifications. It's because they can go get a study guide and some mock exams and follow a trailhead and go try to get certified. And it's so clear cut and simple. And it feels good because you get a badge and you get points and now you're a ranger and now you're this and that. And it's all these accolades and now I feel good about myself. And that's great. And I think that's a meaningful part of the journey. It's also not going to get you employed. So you got to remember that. And I see so many people, you know, we have the Salesforce for Everyone Facebook group. And I see so many people saying, hey, I got certified. And I used to ask this sort of tongue in cheek in the comments. I wouldn't say anything, but I would just ask, trying to pique their thinking. And I would say, that's awesome. What's next? And typically I would say over 70% of the time, they would say, I think I'm going to go for the Platform App Builder certification. It's like, really? Like, why? Why two certifications? Do you think is there something there? Is there something else you could be doing instead of, you know, dusting off your shoes and hopping into another certification? Is there maybe another way we should spend our time? And the answer to that is a resounding yes. In fact, 90% of Talent Stacker members land jobs with one certification or with zero certifications. And zero is not common. Usually that is a situation where someone in their network or someone they knew or just the perfect job came up that matched their industry. And that employer said, yep, this makes perfect sense. I'm not worried about getting you certified. We'll get you certified, but I'm going to pick you up now because I know what a great fit you're going to be. So zero or one certification is 90% of Talent Stacker's landing jobs. Talent Stacker's landing jobs, I don't know what the real numbers are, but I would argue that we are a very high percentage of the entry-level jobs landed today are people coming through the program. So the data we see is likely the data that the overall market would see for these use cases. Now, you're going to see a lot of people with two or three certifications landing jobs. Is that because they needed those certs? I would argue it is not. I would argue they got those certifications just out of habit and not out of necessity. But now it's hard to say, they landed a job with three certs, so I need three certs. That's not really true. You're just trying to draw parallels when really they didn't need three certs. They just happened to have three. Now, what should you be doing? I would say if you're day one, you got to get started on LinkedIn. And the reason why this is important, and you got to shake off that imposter syndrome and let that go. And, you know, even if you don't have the confidence, we got to pretend to have the confidence and we got to step out on LinkedIn. And we have a free LinkedIn guide. I'm telling you, I have a free resource for everything. There's a free LinkedIn optimization guide to help you build your profile and help you engage week to week to build a network. And the reason this is important is because typically taking the Salesforce certification exam is going to take most people somewhere between 2 and 4 months to get to that process. And two is for people who are usually unemployed. They are dedicating 30 to 40 hours a week of study. For the 4 month people, those are typically your full-time job, squeezing some hours in here and there, maybe getting in about 10 hours a week, really hustling, getting it done, still going to take some time. Now, the reason I bring up those times, let's hit in the middle, 3 months, 12 weeks. If you don't get on LinkedIn and you spend those 12 weeks, you get certified, and then you get certified and you go, okay, cool. Now I'm going to get on LinkedIn because I feel good about myself. And I'm going to get on LinkedIn today. I'm going to get my profile optimized. And now I'm going to post my shiny new certification. And you're going to get like 3 likes and a comment from someone you've never met in your life, right? Never even DM'd them or seen a post that they've created. They're going to go, congratulations. And you're going to say, thanks. And that's going to be the end of that announcement. because you are not engaged in the network or the community at all. Now let's rewind. Let's go back to week one, and let's assume we had spent some time on LinkedIn. Well, if you follow the LinkedIn optimization guide that we created, then I would say that you're probably going to get about 50 to 100 new connections a week. Now, those connections are not necessarily important in the depth of the connection. It's the number of connections, and I'll explain why. This is a social platform with algorithms, just like any other platform. And so you get to the end of that 12 weeks, you're going to have somewhere between 600 and 1200 connections on LinkedIn. And now you're going to go post your shiny new certification, and you're probably going to get 100, 200 likes. And you're probably going to get somewhere between 20 and 50 comments. And all of a sudden, you're going to notice that little ticker, and it's going to say, this post was seen by probably about 10,000 people. I would wager on a post like that. Instead of 5 or 10 people, it was seen by 10,000 people. This is going to blow up your DMs. This is going to blow up your connections. This is going to make people say, hey, you know what? I've seen you around. I've seen you posting over the last 2 or 3 months. You seem really engaged in the community. I see you're certified now. Actually, I might have something for you. And 30% of entry-level Salesforce jobs are landed without applying for a job. That means they are landed through some type of networking connection. That's 30%. So if you're not on LinkedIn, you just basically threw 30% of entry-level jobs off the table. So that's not good. The other thing I would say is if you get invited to come interview with a company, prepare for the interview. Once again, we have a free interview readiness guide on our site. And the last thing you want to do is get invited to an interview. You've put in the work. They liked your resume. They liked your LinkedIn. They liked that certification. Everything's looking great. You don't prepare for an interview. You're just asking to what we call trip at the finish line. And those are the things I would spend my time on. Before I started working on certification number two, I would be working on my LinkedIn networking, and I would be working on my interview readiness. And then if you've done all those things and you feel like you're in a good cadence on LinkedIn, you feel like you're staying polished on your interview skills, great. Go work on that second certification if that's what you want to do. But until you've done that, please don't go work on that second cert because it's not going to benefit you in the job search as much as these other things are going to. So hopefully that's helpful.
That's great. I think that's very helpful. Great advice. And I think the LinkedIn piece of it is somewhat underestimated. So I'm glad you hit on some of that strategy there, because I think everybody could benefit from getting some social media training for sure. And Brad, I guess our last question, I don't know if you've listened, how often you've listened to the show, but we always like to ask our guests to share something, a fun fact, something maybe unbelievable, something people don't know about themselves. So is there anything you would want to share with our listeners today that would be an accomplishment or a fun or almost unbelievable story for the guests today?
Sure. Yeah. So I would say exercise the freedom of these remote tech careers. And I really enjoy it when I see other people, you know, doing unique things in their lives to exercise those freedoms. But I sort of alluded to this in the episode that I grew up on a cattle farm, and it's a little bit different for what I think the way most people are brought up, especially most people who end up being in the tech ecosystem. So it's been an interesting journey here, but I always had a pull to get back to those roots a little bit. It definitely felt natural and it felt comfortable. But I think it's funny to tell people that I actually had my first computer in college. That was part of going to college. And I got a laptop. And that was the first time I really had just direct, unlimited access to internet and learning and YouTube and all these things from the comfort of my living room, which was pretty wild because that was 2007, right in there somewhere, which it's not like we're talking about doing this in the 1990s. This was, we were well aware of personal computers and all these things. It's just not the life that we were living. We were waking up in the morning and taking hay bales out to the cows and coming back and then getting ready for school and going to school and coming home and, you know, maintaining things on the farm after that. So it was a very different lifestyle. And now today, we've had the fortune of, I would say, being blessed financially to the point where we were able to buy our own small farm. And now we're my daughter sells chicken and duck eggs, as well as actual live chickens and ducks to the neighbors and people in our community. So she's basically with our help doing poultry breeding and Yeah, selling the produce that comes from them. And then we'll do vegetables in the spring and summer and sell those down at a produce stand. So a lot of people don't know that about me, but I definitely enjoy bringing the entrepreneurial spirit into the house and helping my daughter understand business processes in, I think, more of a little bit more fun, hands-on way.
Is your daughter managing her enterprise through Salesforce at all today?
So I've actually got, funny story, we are managing it through Salesforce. She's six, so she is not doing that. What she does is she does have the Salesforce mobile app. So when she collects eggs, she's able to log how many eggs she gathered. And when she sells eggs, she's able to mark how many eggs were sold to who and on what day. So we can keep up with our egg counts and our production and our outflow and our revenue. And then she actually, I've got a 14-year-old younger brother. A lot of people also don't know that. And he is the one that is managing her Salesforce CRM instance for her. So I help him out on building out, you know, implementing and then building out enhancements that help her. So when we get to spring and we actually start selling vegetable produce, we'll have to make some customizations to make sure that her mobile app is ready to log those and keep up with that process.
That's awesome. Love hearing about those things and how people are using Salesforce differently to kind of meet their needs and manage their businesses. So that's great to hear about. And I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more examples of that as we continue to record the show and have more guests on. But Brad, thank you for tuning in and telling us all about Talent Stacker, letting our users know some of the resources that are available to them. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review wherever you are listening to us today. To learn more about Silverline, you could subscribe to the Silverline blog at silverlinecrm.com or follow on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook at SilverlineCRM. That's one word, Silverline. CRM. And before we end, Brad, where can people find you? Where can our listeners find you on social media today?
Yeah. So I just want to say, number one, I appreciate you guys for having me on. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be able to, you know, share my story, my experience, and some of the things that we're working on. So I certainly appreciate that. If you want to come hang out with me, find me. If you just Google Salesforce for Everyone, that is sort of our free community, free resources brand, if you will. So if you want to come talk to me directly or follow me, the best place is LinkedIn. So that's linkedin.com/n/BradForce, BRADFORCE, or just, you know, search in the LinkedIn search Bradley Rice, and you shouldn't struggle to find me too much. Otherwise, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, all under the Salesforce for Everyone name. And you can come hang out, take advantage of our free resources, ask for help, join in community groups, and really just lean into the Salesforce community, because that's probably where you're going to find the most value across this career path. So yeah, I hope we brought some value to the audience, and I certainly enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you again. And thank you everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode.